There's a story called Earth Had a Challenging Childhood. It's all about the torrent of asteroids and other such disasters that beset the planet Earth when it was still young. Seems like the asteroids were colliding with Earth and touched off events like volcanoes and earthquakes. They seem to be much in the news this week. However, looking at the larger picture, it turns out the asteroids are what gave Earth its mass, its size. Giving sermons about the association and its business is about as challenging. How to make it interesting. Hopefully there will be no volcanoes or earthquakes, even metaphorical ones. But making the story interesting is challenging. I anticipate, though, that some of you will find understanding the larger denomination of interest. Today, we had new people join the congregation. Paul, you need to know that you have joined more than just Beacon. It may look like you have signed only Beacon's membership book, but there's a lot underneath all of that. For Beacon itself is a member and belongs to the Canadian Unitarian Council. And a few other organizations, like the International, well, the CUC belongs then to the International Council of Unitarians and Universalists. So it gets complicated. I do remember when I was first learning about Unitarianism. Al and I had found a very small fellowship in Red Deer, Alberta, through a tiny, classified ad in the newspaper, about as obscure as a Craigslist ad today. Maybe a dozen people came on a Sunday. It was liberating, though, to see a community support each other in their quest for spiritual answers. I was delighted to be a part of a crowd that cared about the rest of the world as well as themselves. True, they only did small things given their small size, but the model of considering it their task to take an interest in the wider world was right there. I wanted to be challenged to be part of a whole larger than just a fellowship. After just a few months attending the Red Deer Fellowship, Al and I had the opportunity to experience the annual Canadian Unitarian Council meeting. That year it was to be held in Banff, Alberta, just 3 hours' drive away. As always, it was on the long weekend in May. Five of us drove together and stayed in someone's summer home in Canmore, just outside of Banff. The story of the trip the five of us had together is another one worth telling sometime. Each morning we drove into Banff to the Banff Springs Hotel, the big castle. The first morning we listened to the keynote speaker Roy Bonesteel, then the host of an award-winning TV show called Man Alive. Boy, you can tell it was the early 80s by the title of the show. Anyway, his presence there was a coup. We five almost missed it, though, because we slept in. There's that back story again that I'm not telling you today. Each day, we experienced not only the workshops on how to do church and watched what it was that Unitarians thought about anyway, but most important to me, we did church together. We worshiped. We sang together. I have a very vivid memory of standing in the largest gathering I had ever worshipped with, maybe 150 or 200 people as I think back on it. I know it was a record crowd for the time. We were in a ballroom of the old castle-like hotel, tucked in between the mountains and the Bow River, within earshot of Bow Falls. This was 1984, and the grand old hotel was decked out in its traditional style. Heavy drapes over the big, high windows. There was a knight resplendent in his armor standing in the hallway. Really? And it really did feel like an old castle, drafts and all. We stood to sing, of course, and we burst out singing rank by rank. The many voices just carried me away. To sing together songs that reflected my values, my way of thinking, my theology, was immensely important to me. I realized that I was not alone in thinking the way I do. I know that when I started to sing, and singing to me was so important because the Red Deer Fellowship didn't sing very much, I wanted to sing, but I was so emotional I couldn't sing. I was choked up. Singing together that day was my window into the larger Unitarian world beyond my tiny congregation. I could see and feel what a larger community of Unitarians was like. I knew then that I had found a religion I could call home. Those larger gatherings kept calling me. One of the benefits of that long ago conference, how many years ago now was it? 26. Beacon would have been 1 year old. One of the benefits of attending that conference was the delight in getting to know people from across the country. Just this week, I noticed that a Facebook friend's profile photo was not just of him, but him with his father, now 80 years old. Son Scott says in reply to my comment in saying that the photo was nice, with his family wit, that the family was all showing up was the surprise, not the fact that he was turning 80, which was entirely expected. And then he adds, apropos of nothing, coincidentally, I was just listening to you on your sermon podcast last night as I fell asleep. The flower communion words from the beginning of April, I think. I'm pretty sure I remember meeting his father, Bernie, all those 26 years ago. Certainly he would have been there. Bernie is one of the stalwart Canadian Unitarian Council participants. He goes every year without fail. Some of us attend Unitarian Universalist Conference, the Elliott Institute, either at Seebeck, Washington, or Naramata, BC, for our fix of Unitarian camaraderie. Some of us go to the CUC meetings, or if you're a youth, you go to YouthCon. That's even better, I hear. There's something special about spending time with other people with which we have much in common. The appeal of our tribe is so enticing that we spend the time and money to go, sometimes even when it is a great distance, as the CUC meetings go from coast to coast. Hasn't gone to St. John's, Newfoundland, but it's been to St. John, New Brunswick, and this year it's in Victoria. I can't tell you about any of the workshops I attended low those many years ago. I could tell you more about what's going to happen this year on the long weekend in May. I do know that our good friend, Reverend Brian Kiley, he who was Beacon's minister for a few months back in 1997, will be speaking about the Transylvanian Unitarians. Did you know there was 80,000 Unitarians in Transylvania? You know how many there are in Canada? 5,000. We call them our ancestors, but they're still alive and kicking in the land beyond the forest in what is now Romania. The words of the song the choir just sang are from the Transylvanian Unitarians and reflect their way of thinking. Taking the idea of getting to know Unitarians to the world stage, Brian is president of the International Council of Unitarians and Universalists. It's even more fun to find out how folks live a liberal religious approach to life in other contexts. Brian has great stories to tell. Mind you, I know that our own John Slattery has stories too, having been on the ICUU board himself for quite some time. Quite a few of us at Beacon have been or still are involved in the broader association. There will be, of course, 3 full days to think of things to think about at the CUC conference and meeting. The annual meeting is the purported reason for it all, of course. That is how we find out just where the organization is going in the coming year. Who will be elected to the board? There's a vacancy for the BC spot right at the moment. And what are the plans for the executive director and the current board are working on? Where are we going as an association? Last summer, the very newly appointed executive director, Jennifer Dixon, sent out a survey wondering about what Unitarians are concerned about. Some 400 people gave detailed answers to her open-ended questions. One overwhelming response was that we wanted to have a voice that could be heard beyond the confines of our congregations. We Unitarians wanted to be making a difference in Canada and in the world, and we want both we Unitarians and Canadians in general to know what we're doing. Perhaps we are remembering that time when Lotta Hitchmanova and her work with the Unitarian Service Committee was so well known in Canada. Certainly, the television ads gave us a profile well beyond our numbers. Retired minister of our sister church in Vancouver, Philip Hewitt, remembers that her work gave us in the Unitarian Church a sense of purpose beyond the particular relief efforts that Lotta Hitzmanova was addressing. Ms. Dixon now has her work plan developed and has it posted online for all to see and comment on. We see that she plans to hire people to fill vacancies in her staff, both the director of Lifespan Learning and the two directors of Congregational Services, both East and West, are vacant and have been for many months now. These people do the backbone work of the CUC's service delivery. They tell us how to do church work together better. We need these people. The question has been for the last couple of years, where's the money? How will this be accomplished? Money is a concern given the state of the stock market and the dependence the CUC has on both its per-member annual contribution that congregations pay for each member, some $91 this year, right, Hugh? And the CUC's endowment. The CUC's latest budget is a deficit budget, dipping into the endowment principle for some investment in the staffing of the organization, to the tune of over $138,000. Tough situation. Now imagine this scene. You are the executive director, opening the mail. This particular letter has the return address of one of the CUC's larger supporters. You've been in contact with her, but she had given no indication that she was going to be sending anything. And then you pull out the letter, and you realize with the letter, it's a check for $138,000. That's the deficit gone. Jennifer Dixon commented in her press release, "The amount covers the 2010 anticipated deficit, to be sure, but more importantly, it demonstrates that Eleanor Gill Ratcliffe's support of the principles and intended results of the work plan. It also highlights the importance that Unitarians place on generosity and optimism." I imagine she was a little more excited than that. There is a future for the CUC when people like Eleanor Ratcliffe, and I can tell you more stories about her, she's from Newfoundland, and you and I care enough to contribute to make something happen. I am, of course, happy, delighted that the operating budget will not have to draw on the principle of the unrestricted portion of the endowment. Even more exciting to me is the conversation that we ministers had at our February gathering on Bowen Island. No, it wasn't on Bowen Island. It was in Victoria. We moved from commenting and complaining to wondering how could this organization work better. Any answers that seemed remotely feasible meant that constitutional work would be necessary. The current bylaws do not allow for any direct involvement of the ministers, those relatively few people whose lives are more wrapped up in the movement than any other such group within the CUC world. And there is no one designated to be the voice of Canadian Unitarianism. Maybe that could all be changed. Reverend Stephen Epperson of the Vancouver Church has another idea for us to consider. A few months ago, in a meeting gathered up by MP Ken Dryden, they were discussing the future of Canada. Dryden asked, "What is the one most important issue facing Canada today?" The response from that group was homelessness, affordable housing. We here at Beacon are not particularly surprised by this. Dryden surprised Stephen and the rest when he told the group that that answer, homelessness, was the same answer all across the country, without exception. And now Stephen is working on a special resolution for the delegates to consider at the CUC meeting. He is hoping to unite all Canadian congregations in advocacy for a national housing strategy. I wonder if this kind of focused working together will again, like during the Hitchmanova era, foster a sense of mission and purpose, one that will carry us further than the mostly inward focus that we now have does. This is certainly a challenging time for Unitarians across Canada. Hopefully no earthquakes or volcanoes, but I hope that some of these new ideas will carry us where we need to go and boldly. Come along, won't you? Amen.